Alt NPR.
The following is an installment of Benjamin Walker's Theory of Everything. For more information, an audio archive, and a blog, visit toeradio.org.
He would go into a bookstore and say, there are two or three books in there that I would really love to read. The rest of it, it's not worth it.
All right, let's see what they have.
Bill Marx is a friend of mine who shares an obsession with the writer Stanislaw Lem. We both used to joke about how if Lem didn't get the Nobel Prize for Literature before he died, then we would have to go to Stockholm and f*** shit up. But seriously, the Nobel didn't come in time. Stanislaw Lem died on March 27th. I caught up with Bill Marx in Cambridge, Massachusetts a few days later. We visited a local bookstore to see if Lem was at least still on the shelves.
What have we got?
It's not looking good, is it?
It's not looking good. Where is he?
There was nothing in the new books, so we went downstairs to check out the used section.
Nope, nothing. Well, so... Why didn't he win the Nobel Prize for Literature? There are none of his books around. It is depressing.
We retired to Bill's Somerville apartment, where he promised a real Lem collection.
We're going up my stairways to my inner sanctum, where I have my favorite authors and their books all lined up close to me. The Lem section is here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I have a dozen Lem books.
I have like 22.
You don't have 22.
I do have 22. Absolutely.
Right. Well, there's some of them might be elsewhere, but I'm sorry, I have a dozen. It's...
I'm not trying
next
to compete
time we'll
with
go, you. Next time we'll visit your collection, okay? And you wanted to see mine. Already he's comparing numbers here.
Stanislaw Lem was born in Poland in 1921. His father and his uncle were doctors, and thus it was no surprise when Lem enrolled in the Lwów Medical Institute. His studies were, of course, interrupted by World War II, but Lem, who was of Jewish ancestry, survived Poland's darkest days. After the war, Lem moved to Krakow, where he finished his medical studies, but he never became a doctor. Instead, he began writing. His first books were not science fiction. The state censors made it impossible to write anything that did not conform to the principles of socialist realism. But in 1956, the Polish government press relaxed its controls, and Lem began to write about faraway places and alternate universes, fertile ground to explore the human condition. While his books were translated and read all over the world, Lem never found a place in the marketplace that was American science fiction. Bill Marx says there are several reasons for this.
A, he's an author whose works are put into translation. He originally wrote in Polish, so that's strike one. Strike two is that, unfortunately, he was branded a science fiction writer. And most people, when they think of science fiction, think of Star Trek and that sort of genre silliness. And that's so far from what Lem was up to. And three, I mean, he wrote speculative fiction, and he wrote it with a solid knowledge of, you know, scientific theory, of the latest in mathematics, the latest in various kinds of cybernetics. Strike three. You know, in other words, he actually is someone who was writing what you would call sort of science fiction, who actually knew something about science and simply just didn't use it, you know, put a tack on a couple of gadgets like a levitator or something in order to make a book seem like it's futuristic, but it's the same old genre melodrama served up once again. And he also, Lem was a prickly character. He wrote criticism himself, and he wrote in a book here, which I have here, which is one of my favorite books of criticism, by the way, I think. And it's called Microworlds. In this collection, he basically trashes about 99% of American science fiction writers. He does like Philip K. Dick and a handful of others, and I think rightfully so. So when the establishment, the science fiction establishment of America, sort of read the fact that he was trashing Ben Nova and all these other people, they said, no way, we want him around. And that was another thing that sort of deep-sixed him. Although he did have, you know, Kurt Vonnegut was an admirer of Lem, as well as other first-rate, you know, I don't know, science fiction or, you know, sort of fantasy writers. he really was sort of a Renaissance mind, and that's another thing that perhaps people found frightening. When you start looking at the amount of material that he mastered, you know, not just in terms of literary criticism, but just in terms of science and robotics and so forth, it really is, you know, it's almost frightening in the range of his knowledge. If Americans knew him, if they know him at all, it would be from Solaris, which is his novel, which was made into two films. The one Americans would know would be the Steven Soderbergh film, which was made recently. Lem himself sort of lambasted it as just another love story, when essentially it's an investigation consciousness. I mean, whenever astronauts or voyagers in outer space meet aliens, in Lem, inevitably the aliens are only mirrors of something within us. I mean, he's not interested in creating bug-eyed monsters who are, you know, after our damsels. He's interested in creating sort of, you could say, diagnostic, sort of experimental fiction where, in a sense, we're facing ourselves in a new way, but we think we're facing aliens, when in actuality we're only facing the most, the deepest, sometimes the most frightening parts of ourselves.
Do you think he liked the Tarkovsky version?
I think he thought it was very slow, although the Tarkovsky version, for those with the patience, is actually quite an interesting film. I think he's a little bit unfair to that one. But I agree, it moves very slowly. You know, basically his feeling, which is also changes him from a lot of other, makes him different from a lot of science fiction writers, is that he believed in modesty. He believed in the modesty of the human mind. So he, you know, instead of H.G. Wells, who, and I do think that he is up there with H.G. Wells as being one of the great writers, sort of fantasy writers, is that Wells, of course, saw himself as a prophet. I mean, he's wanted to, you know, sort of in a sense talk about, ordain what was going to happen in the future. Lem was much more modest, and he was interested in humanity, but only in teaching it some humility. Lem, of course, came up and grew up as a writer during modernism and even postmodernism. Thus, he not only incorporates some of the 19th century means of storytelling of Wells, but also is within the context of someone like Borges, where, and again, when you're dealing with someone whose idea of aliens essentially is only a mirror of ourselves, then it makes perfect sense that he would start writing books which are mirrors of other books. For example, one of my favorite books of his, I'm going to pick it up right here, is A Perfect Vacuum, which I think I have right here. Here it is, A Perfect Vacuum. It's perfect reviews of non-existent books. I love this book. I love this book because of being a book reviewer. It's a series of very amusing book reviews of books that don't exist, including a review of A Perfect Vacuum itself, which is panned. He used to say that what he liked to do was books were one means of what he called micro revenges on contemporary society. And I think A Perfect Vacuum, for an author who feels that his books are being neglected, you know, what could be better revenge than creating reviews of non-existent books? He was not a neglected writer around the world. Apparently, he sold over 25 million copies of his books around the world, and I think he was translated in over 40 languages. He was not a neglected writer in that way. But because he was labeled as a science fiction writer, because I think he needed to be translated, thus it created a problem with certainly American readers, he did not receive the sort of respect, I think, in the wider literary circles that he should have gotten. Frankly, you know, the fact that he's died before being awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature, I think, is a disgrace. I can name three or four writers, Dario Fo for one, who recently won the award, who could not kiss the shoe of Stanislaw Lem in terms of the power of his imagination and just how wide his knowledge was. And it's hard to think of any writer, really, who's certainly won the Nobel Prize recently, who so prepares people for what it's going to be like in the 21st century. I mean, that's sort of what Lem is about. Lem said that I'm a futurologist. I'm there, in a sense, to give you a forecast of what, given our current technological means, what are the ends going to be? And his best fables are little experimental, anecdotes dealing with, you know, which way could the pendulum go? Could we perhaps master technology, or will technology master us?
You've been listening to Benjamin Walker's Theory of Everything. For more information, an audio archive, and a blog, visit toeradio.org.
Alt.